Man, well, it's great to be here. I love West Virginia. It's a beautiful place. And I've known Pastor Jason Robinson for now over a decade. I first met him on July 12th of 2008. And I remember the exact date because it was a special event. So that's kind of a funny story that he can tell you sometime about how we met. But we've known each other for over 10 years. He's a godly man. And I'm really excited about the fact that he has started this church and it's already reaching its one-year anniversary. And there have already been almost 200 people saved. And so it's just exciting to be a part of it in the early days, being in these early days of starting a church and getting it going. So God bless you all for being here. I know a lot of people drove from 2, 3, 4 hours away or even further. And so I really appreciate you coming all the way out here to hear me preach tonight. The title of my sermon tonight is Woe unto the filthy city. Woe unto the filthy city. I'm going to be using the city of San Francisco, California tonight, believe it or not. We're all the way in West Virginia, but we're preaching against San Francisco, California as the example of just what a city ends up like when they turn away from the Lord, when they completely reject God. Because sin sometimes looks appealing to fool around with, to play with, to flirt with. But the end thereof are the ways of death. And if you look at San Francisco, California today, you can kind of see what's at the end of that road that some people might think that they want to go down. Well, when you see what's at the end of that road where sin and turning away from the Lord takes you, you'll see that it's not as appealing as a lot of people think and as the devil would want you to think that it's appealing to follow the ways of sin. So I have 3 points tonight about woe unto the filthy city. Point number one is dung. Point number two is drugs. And point number three is dogs. Now, it would be sodomites, but I was trying to have the same letter, like a Pastor Jimenez style. You know, dung, drugs, and dogs. All right. So point number one is dung. If you would look down at your Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 23, look at verse 12. The Bible reads, "Thou shalt have a place also without the camp, whither thou shalt go forth abroad, and thou shalt have a paddle upon thy weapon. And it shall be, when thou wilt ease thyself abroad, that thou shalt dig therewith, and shalt turn back and cover that which cometh from thee. For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp, to deliver thee, and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee, and turn away from thee." Now, of course, we want to have God's presence in our lives. We want God's presence to be in our homes, and certainly in a church. You want God to be present, and the Spirit of God to be present. You don't want it to be said the Spirit of the Lord is departed from that place, and that it's Ichabod. And in your city, you know, you want God's presence and power. Let me just guarantee you one thing. God has departed from San Francisco, California. God has forsaken that city. You say, well, how do you know that, Pastor Anderson? Because the Bible talks about the fact that when God is with you and he walks amongst your camp and walks in your area, if he finds something unclean there, there's a good chance that he could turn away from that, right? Because it says here, "Thy camp shall be holy," at the end of verse 14, "that he see no unclean thing in thee, and turn away from thee." And what unclean thing is he specifically talking about here? He's talking about human waste. He's talking about excrement, okay? He's talking about people using the bathroom all over the place. He's saying, look, God doesn't want to see that in the camp. And if he does see that, he might just leave. He doesn't want to step in that. He doesn't want to be around that. And that's what he says here in the Word of God. You know, God cares about cleanliness. God cares about sanitation. And San Francisco is a filthy place tonight. Now, I watched some stuff about San Francisco. I read a lot of news articles. And there was a news crew with just a mainstream news organization. And they decided to go on a walk through San Francisco. They walked over 153 blocks. So they went actually 20 miles of walking, just walking up and down the streets of a portion of San Francisco. They found trash on every single block, 153 blocks, trash in the streets. They found 303 piles of human excrement on a 20-mile walk. Think about that. That means that for every mile that they walked on average, there were 15. Can you imagine walking 1 mile and having 15 piles of human dung on the sidewalk? That's San Francisco, California tonight. Is that disgusting? It's wicked. 303 piles of human waste and over 100 used hypodermic needles on the ground in that walk. So again, if you break this down, I mean, every mile they're finding at least, what, 5 hypodermic needles and 15 piles of dung, trash on every single block. In fact, now they're publishing maps of San Francisco that show you how to avoid the dung. Say, hey, this is where the highest concentrations are. In fact, there's even an app for your smartphone where you can, you know, if you're going to San Francisco, you know, you better make sure you have that app on your phone that tells you how to avoid the dung in the streets so that you can try to steer around the worst concentrations of feces in San Francisco, California. Now, just to give you a picture of San Francisco, California, it's a very small city geographically because it's on a peninsula, so it's all kind of crammed in. So it's about 7 miles by 7 miles. In fact, it's even a little bit less than 7 miles by 7 miles. And it has a population of 871,000 people. The government itself distributes each month 400,000 hypodermic needles to the people. So in a city that only has 871,000 people in it, the government's giving out for free over 400,000 hypodermic needles that are specifically to be used by drug users for shooting up heroin. 400,000 needles. And then they recover each month 246,000. So that means that there are still 154,000 needles that are unaccounted for every month. I mean, how would you like to walk down the street and there's just used needles from people shooting up heroin, you know, in between all the other stuff? Go to Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter number 10. I mean, it's a disgusting place tonight. It's a filthy city. Look at Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 8. The Bible reads, "And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when thou go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses." God's saying, look, you need to take heed unto my laws and my statutes. You need to teach the Bible to people so that they can put a difference between clean and unclean. Isn't it interesting that when a city is wicked and turns away from God, that they are covered in filth, literal filth? Why? They don't put a difference between clean and unclean. Isn't it interesting that the same people who can't figure out the difference between male and female, they also can't tell the difference between clean and unclean, and they've turned their beautiful city into one large outdoor toilet because they hate God's word. They hate God's laws. They don't want Leviticus 20:13. Well, it turns out they don't want Deuteronomy 23 either, so they'll just defecate wherever they find a place. The Bible says, if you flip over to Ezekiel chapter 44, it gives something similar to what we saw in Leviticus chapter 10. He said, look, don't drink wine. Don't drink strong drink. What is one of the effects of alcohol? You won't be able to tell the difference between clean and unclean. Who are all these people that are just using the restroom all over the street? Well, most of them are drug addicted or drunk or both to do something like that in that city. Look at Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 20. Neither shall they shave their heads, nor suffer the locks, their locks to grow long. They shall only poll their heads. Polling means just to cut a short haircut, not to cut it all the way off bald and not to grow long hair. Verse 21, neither shall any priest drink wine when they enter into the court. Neither shall they take for their wives a widow nor her that is put away, but they shall take maidens of the seed of the house of Israel or a widow that had a priest before. And they shall teach my people the difference between holy and profane and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. You know, God wants us to know the difference between what's dirty and what's clean, what's sanitary and what's unsanitary. It's a disgrace when we have filth and unsanitary, dirty things and germs everywhere. God says if he finds that unclean stuff, he'll turn away from you. 20,219 complaints made over the phone where people called the city of San Francisco and complained about human waste. 6,207 complaints made. Can you imagine how, just do the math on this. In 1 year, people picked up the phone over 20,000 times? I mean, how many times is that per day? Like 60 times a day they're picking up the phone and saying, excuse me, city of San Francisco, there's human waste in the street. Can you clean this up? They just keep calling. Nothing's done about it. City health workers hand out nearly 6 million clean needles a year. And the goal is for the dirty ones to be turned in as the new ones are distributed. But nearly 2 million go unaccounted for annually. Distributing clean needles helps prevent HIV and other diseases or infections that come by sharing or using dirty needles. So the practice is considered by the city's health advocates worth the trade-off. I mean, that's worth it, right? So having 150,000 used hypodermic needles litter the street every month is worth it so that the druggies and fags don't get AIDS, so that normal people have to step on 10 every mile that they walk. I mean, think about this. This is the logic, though, today that says, oh, let's just give all the young people contraceptives in school so that they can do it safely. Or, oh, let's just teach people how to use alcohol responsibly. Let's just teach people how to, let's give them a safe space where they can shoot up drugs in a supervised facility. Let's give them clean needles so that they can do heroin. You know, we can't make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. You know, we can't just sit there and have a culture that accommodates people's sins, accommodates people's filthy lifestyle, and makes it easy for them. No, you know, it should be hard for them to sin. It should be hard for them to shoot up here. Why would we want to help them do that? Because you know what message you're sending? You're just giving a green light, like, go ahead and do it. You know, when you tell the young people, well, it's best if you practice abstinence, but, hint, hint, wink, wink, nod, nod, if you do, here you go. Here's what you need. Here's how you can do it safely. Here's the contraceptives. No, it's abstinence. It's abstain from fornication. It's wait until you're married and keep yourself pure. We're not going to bend over backwards to try to make it easy for people to fornicate and do drugs and get drugs. No, they just need to stop doing it. We need preachers to get up and preach hard against these sins and rip some face. And we need a society that frowns on it and shames people that are on drugs and says, oh, you're addicted to heroin. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Get right with God. Oh, you fornicated? That's harlotry. That's whoredom. What a shame. Get right with God. Repent of that wickedness. But instead, it's like, well, you know, we gotta help these people out as they continue in sin and continue in their filthy lifestyle. Well, what happens with that liberal, soft, bleeding heart philosophy? Well, you end up living in San Francisco, California, where you can't walk down the street without drugs and feces everywhere. Here is something that I found from Southern California. Down the California coast in Orange County, a vast encampment of homeless people stretched for miles along a riverside bike path when officials eventually cleared the encampment in March, they reportedly found more than 13,000 used syringes in this little homeless encampment and over 5,000 pounds of human waste. Now look, you say, oh, how dare you get on the homeless people? They're just a little down on their luck. Oh, really? Then what are they doing with 13,000 needles down there if they're just a little down on their luck? And you know, I'm sick of this politically correct garbage that won't call out the homelessness for what it is, laziness. And if a man won't work, he shouldn't eat. And I can understand how maybe in certain eras of time or certain cities or certain situations, people could be down on their luck. But you know what? In 2018 America, unemployment is at an all-time low. I don't know about West Virginia, but in Arizona, everybody's hiring. Everywhere you drive, people are hiring. And we have certain businesses that are right near our church where we can send people. They will hire you the same day, every day, and they'll hire anybody. You can send them the weirdest derelict, they'll hire them the same day at some of these places. We have certain companies on speed dial like that, and when people show up and complain to us that they don't have, we say, look, we'll have you working tomorrow, but they don't want to work. They want to do drugs. They want to get drunk. They want to lay in the street. They have chosen that lifestyle 99% of the time. They choose to live that life. That's why there's 13,000 needles there. And pray tell me this. I'm sorry that they're homeless, but can they at least use the bathroom outside the camp and bury that which cometh from them? You know, I know they don't want to obey the Bible when it said, look not on the wine when it's red. I know they don't want to obey the Bible when it said, be sober. I know they don't want to obey the Bible when it said, flee fornication. But can they at least obey the part of the Bible that says that when you use the restroom to bury it, to put it somewhere else? No, no, they're just living in their own filth. 5,000 pounds of, can you imagine living with 5,000 pounds of human waste around? It's sick. This is all reality, folks. This is all from mainstream news organizations. This wasn't even from some conspiracy website. In San Diego County, the combination of drugs and homelessness turned deadly last year when an outbreak of hepatitis A eventually killed 20 people. A county spokesperson said that the majority of people who contracted the disease during the outbreak had been homeless and/or illicit drug users. So point number one, dung. Point number two, drugs. Open drug use has exploded in San Francisco in recent years, enraging residents who complain of having to step over people injecting heroin in train stations and to traverse a seemingly unending series of tent villages on sidewalks and bike paths. The problem has ballooned into a public health crisis, officials say, leaving elected leaders scrambling for solutions as discarded needles pile up in the streets. The issue also tested San Francisco's image as a liberal, compassionate, urban oasis and underscores a broader trend in large California cities that have been grappling with rising homelessness and drug use on their streets. Public drug use in San Francisco was thrust into the spotlight last week when a series of shocking videos uploaded to YouTube showed dozens of drug users seemingly unaware that they were being filmed, sprawled out in a Bay Area rapid transit station and openly injecting drugs as commuters walked past. Others appeared to be unconscious, lying next to a pool of vomit. According to the San Francisco Department of Public Health, there are about 22,000 intravenous drug users in the city, or about 470 per square mile. So in one square mile, there are 470 people shooting up heroin in San Francisco, California. Most of those people are using heroin and prescription opioids, but the use of methamphetamines is on the rise, said Rachel Kagan, a health department spokesperson. Good job, Rachel Kagan. You guys are doing a great job out there in San Francisco, California. Good job, government. But listen to what this doctor said. They stated the obvious in this article. People might be using heroin for 20 years, and the really pleasant part of it might have been the first few months and then another 19 and a half years of a kind of misery. And you know what? The verse that's perfect for that is where it says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. How long is a season typically, right? 3 months, right? We have four seasons, 3 months each. This expert said they have about 3 months of enjoyment when they first get on the heroin. 3 months are, quote, really nice, and then they have 19 and a half years of living hell. That's what 20 years on heroin looks like. And you know, it's not just San Francisco, California. Brother Robinson and I were talking at lunch. He said that drug use is a big thing even out here in West Virginia. He said that heroin use takes place here. People are using meth. They're addicted to drugs today. Listen to me, young people. Don't even get started with it because, yeah, it'll be fun. It's going to feel good. And then you're just going to live in misery for year after year, decade after decade. It's not worth it. You really want to have fun for a couple weeks or months and then just destroy your whole life, flush your whole life down the toilet. And look, don't even smoke pot. By the way, San Francisco is one of the most pot-smoking countries in America as well. Guess what? That's where it starts. It starts when you drink alcohol. You know, once you break that barrier of like, well, I'm just going to start drinking, then it's like, well, if I'm going to drink, why not smoke a little pot? Yeah. Well, if I'm going to smoke a little pot, what's the harm in taking a couple pills? And if I take this pill and then I drink a beer, it's like drinking three beers and it's cheaper. I'm saving money, you know? And this is the logic that takes people down a road of drug addiction. They start drinking a little beer. They start smoking a little pot. Next thing you know, they're taking this pill. And if I'm going to take this pill, might as well take that pill. And it gets worse and worse and worse. And you think any of these people started out thinking, I'm going to inject things into my arm with a needle? I don't know about you, but I don't like having a needle poked into me. I mean, whenever I've had to go to the doc, who feels the same way? Like, who finds it kind of just disturbing thinking about being injected with anything? You know, I go to the doctor and they want to take a little blood sample or something. You know, that's unpleasant. And I can't even imagine stabbing a needle into myself. I remember one time I had to give my wife a shot of something. She was dealing with some of her pregnancy, and it was like some vitamin B shot or something. And I was supposed to give my wife this vitamin B shot. And it was weird having to just stab her with a needle. You know, I was like, you know, and put in that. You know, that was weird. And you know, I remember my dad was telling me that when he was in boot camp, in order to graduate from boot camp, this is like in the Vietnam era, you had to prove that you could inject yourself with a needle, because I guess there was some kind of an antidote to something or other that you had to be able to do. So they had to go and be around tear gas and take off their mask and breathe in the tear gas. And then they had to be able to inject themselves with this needle. And one of the biggest, toughest guys, he was already on his second time through boot camp. He failed the first time because he couldn't inject himself. Because you had to just, it was just a, I don't know if it was a saline solution or whatever. It was just a placebo, but they had to stab this thing in their leg and inject it. And the last time my dad saw the guy, my dad walked out of there, and the last time he saw him, the guy was just sitting there, and he just couldn't do it. So I don't know if the guy ever did it or what. You know, look, stabbing yourself with a needle kind of goes against the grain, but not for, you know, 470 people per square mile in San Francisco. But you think they started out thinking, you know, I'm going to take intravenous drugs. No, they started out smoking pot. They started out taking a pill. They started out drinking a beer, and they just keep pushing it a little further. It's like the frog in the hot water, and they get worse, and they enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I'm sure it's really fun in the beginning. Oh, it's such euphoria. But the end thereof are the ways of death. It's a horrible lifestyle. Yeah, San Francisco is in the top 5% of cities for smoking weed. 69% of the homeless population claim that they lived in San Francisco housing prior to becoming homeless. 55% say they've been homeless for a decade or more. These people aren't exactly trying to change, are they? 55% say, I've been homeless for more than a decade. 41% admit to having drug or alcohol addiction. Look, and that doesn't mean the other 50% or 59% are teetotalers. These are the ones who say, I'm addicted. I'm addicted to drugs. I'm addicted to alcohol. The rest of them are probably like, well, I drink and do drugs, but I can quit any time. Is probably what the other group say. Oh, try this on. 30% of the homeless in San Francisco are openly sodomites. 30%. Are openly sodomized. So you walk down the streets of San Francisco and you have all these aggressive, violent bums and homeless people accosting you. Just remember that about one third of them are openly sodomized. I remember one time I was in San Francisco. This is like 20 years ago. It wasn't even as bad as it is now. And I walked down San Francisco's street as a teenager, and a bum just hurled an empty glass bottle and it just exploded like 10 feet from me. You know, it kind of is startling having somebody throw a bottle that near you and just explode. And I looked at the guy, and the guy just gave me a look like, what are you going to do about it? This is the way the bums are. You know, they'll throw something at you and then just, what are you going to do about it? You know? 30% openly sodomite. Go to Isaiah chapter 28, Isaiah chapter number 28. Because I'm here to tell you that drugs and alcohol create a filthy environment. In a city, in a home, in a business, they create mess and filth. Go to the home of someone who's drug addicted. Go to the home of somebody who's a drunk, and you know what you're going to find? A bad smell, a mess, dirty, filthy dwelling places. And those of us who've gone soul winning and knocked doors in the ghetto, we've smelled those smells. We've seen those messes. And you know, one of the things I love about taking my kids out soul winning, even to the worst ghettos, is it shows them what sin will do to people. Because you say, oh, you don't want your kids to be sheltered. You got to show them everything on TV and the movies and everything. But here's the thing, on TV, it's a clean house as they get drunk. Right? Look, you see people on TV doing drugs, drinking, and you know, you don't see any laundry piled up. You don't see the food that's been rotting on the counter for weeks. It's not a smell-o-vision, so you can't smell the smells of that filth. And so TV is showing you, and magazines are showing you, a really pretty picture of what alcohol and drugs look like. But the reality is, when you go soul winning, go to the worst ghetto, and then you can see what it looks like when this buds for you. You can see the filth and the dung and the smell and the rot. Well, let's read the Bible. Isaiah 28, verse 7. And they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They're swallowed up of wine. They're out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision, they stumble in judgment, for all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. That's where drugs and alcohol are going to take you, my friend, to a filthy, vomit-filled, dung-filled place where there's nothing clean, and they're never going to show you that on the commercial, you're never going to see that in a magazine, but you'll find it on YouTube. It's reality. Here's a San Francisco Chronicle article. If you would turn to Mark chapter 9, the San Francisco Chronicle, main newspaper there, they say that San Francisco has doubled the money that they spend on homelessness to more than $300 million a year they spend on homelessness. $300 million. In that time, the overall homeless population, according to one night counts done every 2 years, has fallen from 8,640 in 2004 to 7,499 in 2017. So basically, they reduced the amount of homeless people by 500 people over 13 years by spending literally billions of dollars. So they spend like billions of dollars to get like 500 people off the street or whatever. But yet, even though supposedly the number has gone down by like 500 people per night, it says yet in spite of that, the residents of the city, when surveyed, said that it's the number one problem in the city and that it's getting worse. So why is it getting worse, or why do they think it's getting worse? Well, because this is what the San Francisco Chronicle says. The decades-old problem lends itself to a perception that it has no end in sight. And the exploding opioid epidemic, that's opioid, translation, heroin, and other things like heroin, which has thrust more addicts onto the street, shooting up in public, only adds to the sense of futility. The most disheartening manifestation of homelessness is the daily exhibition of mentally ill people screaming at the sky, tearing at themselves, and otherwise behaving beyond their own control. Now, listen to me, thou Bible-believing Christian. Screaming at the sky, tearing at themselves, and behaving beyond their control. I wonder, what do you think's wrong with these people? What do you think's going on? I don't know. I don't know what the problem is. They're demon-possessed. Why are they screaming at the sky? Who are they screaming at? The Lord. They hate God. They're screaming at God himself, shouting to the sky, screaming at the sky, tearing themselves. This is the wording used by the San Francisco Chronicle. Tearing at themselves and behaving beyond their own control. Look at Mark chapter 9, verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he what? Teareth him. So this guy's tearing himself. And he foameth, he's foaming at the mouth, gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth them, and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. Isn't it interesting that the newspaper article uses the exact same wording that the Bible keeps using about these demonic people, that they're tearing themselves as they yell at the sky and behave beyond their own control? It says he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And this is exactly what you're going to see if you look on YouTube, all the videos of these violent, aggressive, wild, insane homeless people roaming the streets of San Francisco, California. In fact, one person described San Francisco, California as the world's largest outdoor unsupervised mental institution. It's like you're just in an outdoor, open-air, unsupervised mental asylum. Look, I've worked in a mental institution before. I did fire alarms there, and it was pretty scary being there. And you had these little card access, and every once in a while you'd end up on the wrong side of the door, and you're like trying to get your card to work, and they're just kind of converging on you. They're looking at your tools and stuff, and you're just picturing them grabbing that screwdriver and just, you know. So it could be scary, because there are a lot of people that are demon-possessed in these places. And, you know, you see all this violence they're throwing things, they're beating each other up, they're attacking pedestrians and things like that. And, you know, I can't help but think of the song, right? If you're going to San Francisco. Who knows the song I'm talking about? Put up your hand if you know that song. All right. All the older generation, right? You're sure to find some gentle people there. No, not exactly. But that's not what I had in mind with gentle. You know, and then I thought of Revelation 13:6 about the Antichrist, how he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. That's probably what they're doing when they're screaming at the sky, you know, blaspheming God and them that dwell in heaven. But that brings me to point number three, which is the dogs. And I don't mean the four-legged kind of dogs, but I mean sodomites. The Bible calls sodomites dogs. Go back, if you would, to Deuteronomy 23, where we started. You know, what makes San Francisco such a filthy place? Why do you say, woe unto the filthy city? Well, number one, it's covered in dung. I mean, that's what makes it a filthy city. There's human waste everywhere. 303 piles in 20 miles, okay, of walking down the sidewalk. Number two, it's the drugs. What makes it a filthy city? I mean, when you're walking down the street and people are just laying in the street, shooting up heroin openly, when you have to dodge hypodermic needles. You know, I'm pretty big on running barefoot. I don't think I would even have the guts to run barefoot through San Francisco. Now, I've run barefoot through Los Angeles. I've run barefoot through broken glass, but I'm not going to run barefoot through San Francisco, California. Can you imagine the bacteria? Can you imagine the waste? Can you imagine that, you know, I get these little sharp thorns in my feet sometimes in Arizona. I don't know what they're called, like a burr or a little goat's head, I think they call it sometimes. But I'll be pulling these out of my feet sometimes when I'm running. But can you imagine looking down, you feel that sharp twinge, and you have some hypodermic needle from some sodomite homeless drug user hanging out of your foot? Oh, man, forget that. You know, I'll buy all the Nikes and forget everything I ever told you about barefoot running if you live in San Francisco, all right? But number three, the sodomites. That's what makes it a filthy place.
That's right.
It's the dung, it's the drugs, and it's the dogs. Right. Yep. Look what the Bible says in Deuteronomy 23, verse 17. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Thou shalt not bring the price of a whore or the price of a dog. So look, in verse 17, he's talking about whores, and he's talking about sodomites. And then in the next verse, he's talking about whores and dogs. Why? Because the dog and the sodomite are synonyms in the Old Testament. That's what the Bible calls them. It's calling the sodomite a dog. It's not saying, hey, don't bring the price of a dog to the house of a God. You know, if you have a dog breeding business, you know, don't tithe on that. That's not what it's saying, all right? You need a tithe on that dog breeding business. All right, no, I'm just kidding. Anyway, he says, don't bring the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow, for even both of these are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Okay, I've got a really shocking statistic for you. Did you know that San Francisco has the highest population of homos in the U.S.? Is that a shock? You've never even heard that. Yeah. Guess what? Everybody knows that. We could go up and down the street and ask any person, name the city in America that's known as being a homo place, and you know that 100% of people would say what? San Francisco, California, right? That's what everybody would say. I mean, when I was a kid, even, I was born in 1981, growing up in the 80s and 90s, San Francisco was just synonymous with homos. Like, I lived in Sacramento, which is only like an hour and a half away. But to us, it was like, oh, somebody's from San Francisco, are they a homo? You know, it was just like, it was just synonymous to you. Isn't it interesting that it's the filthiest place and they have the highest percentage of, but here's what's interesting. Do you want to know what percentage of the adult population, so this isn't counting kids and teenagers, what percentage of the adult population is a homo in San Francisco? It's only 6.2%. So do you see how just 6.2% can just ruin the whole city? Can give it a reputation where an hour and a half away, every kid on the playground, the biggest insult is, oh yeah? Well, I bet you want to live in San Francisco when you grow up, huh? Oh, I bet you're from San Francisco. I mean, that was hurled as an insult when I was a kid in the 80s of, oh, you know, what, you know, are you from San Francisco? You have AIDS? That's what people would say on the playground. I'm not saying that they should have thrown that around, but that's what they did. How can 6.2% of the people just turn an entire city into a dung-filled, just filthy, wicked, disgusting? Look, 6% of the people can destroy the city and ruin it. Ruin the reputation. And you know what? 6% of people righteous can turn a city around, too. And cause God to bless a city, you know? It can kind of go either way. But hey, I've got really good news for you. I looked at the reverse statistic, I looked at the most sodomite city, and of course, number one, 6.2% of the adult population, San Francisco, California. After that was Portland, Oregon, which by the way, Portland, Oregon is also known as being kind of a mecca for homeless people and drug users, as being a major hub of that. After that was Austin, Texas. After that, New Orleans, Louisiana, and on and on. But listen to this, here are the out of the 50 largest cities in America, the one with the least amount of sodomites, which one has the least amount of sodomites, is Birmingham, Alabama, but second place, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. All right? So good news, it has almost the least sodomites of any city, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Amen. That's good news for you guys out here. So yeah, you know, I figured I'd throw you a bone when I come out here, you know? So it's a filthy lifestyle. That's why the Bible called it vile affections. Go if you would to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. It's a filthy lifestyle. And you know what? We need some Bible preaching that uses the words that the Bible uses, like filthy. Amen. I mean, the word filth or filthy comes up in the Bible over and over again. The word vile comes up. But today, you hear pastors even call it gay. Oh, these are gays. They're LGBT. Or you know, and they soften the language, don't they? Yeah. And they say, oh, well, you know, they're homosexual. No, no, they're filthy. Yeah. They're beasts. Yeah. They're vile. They're disgusting. We need to use the language the Bible uses. Look at verse 6 of 2 Peter 2. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the what? The filthy conversation of the wicked. The word conversation in the Bible often means lifestyle, would be our modern word. Back when the King James was translated, the word conversation was the word that they would use. Today, we would use the word lifestyle. And you know what? He's saying Lot was vexed by that filthy lifestyle that they had, and God had to turn it into ashes because he had to burn up all the pathogens. He had to burn up all the germs. He had to burn up all the disease. He had to use fire just so that the whole place wouldn't be contaminated. And you know what he said? That is an example to those that after should live ungodly. Don't tell me that's how God was back then. Because I don't know about you, but when I'm in 2 Peter, I'm pretty close to the end of my Bible. How dispensational do you want to get? I mean, we're at the end of the book, And he says, hey, remember Sodom and Gomorrah from back in Genesis? It's the same thing in 2 Peter. That is the example. You say, well, you know, how would Jesus treat these homos? Okay, well, what's the example that he gave? Show me an example in the Bible of how Jesus treated homos. Well, I look at Matthew, I can't find it. I didn't find it in Mark. I didn't find it in Luke. I didn't find it in John. You know why? Because God said, I already gave you an example.
That's right.
It's in Genesis chapter 19. That's the example.
Amen.
To those that after should live ungodly. There's nothing new under the sun. The same way that Sodom and Gomorrah was is the same way the Roman city of Pompeii was. And it's the way that San Francisco is becoming. I don't think San Francisco is anywhere close to as bad as Sodom and Pompeii and places like that got, but that's the route that they're on. You know, it's only 6% of people in San Francisco that are homos. In Sodom, it was all the men from every quarter. I mean, it was worse in Sodom. But San Francisco's on a bobsled to hell, and they're getting worse and worse, and there's nothing new under the sun. And by the way, you know, Pompeii was wiped out in a similar way to Sodom and Gomorrah because, and by the way, that's A.D. You know, I don't know the exact date. I think it was somewhere around 70 A.D. or thereabout. I know 70 A.D. is the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans. But I know it was around that same neighborhood of the first century A.D. where God allowed that volcano to erupt. And what came out of that volcano? Fire and brimstone. And what happened to it? It rained on the city of Pompeii, and the city of Pompeii was completely wiped out, and there are all kinds of remains of people that are like in the process of like running, or in, you know, they're frozen because the lava just came in and just froze them right where they were and just burned them and melted and killed them. And when they excavated Pompeii, they found all the artwork. It was all Sodomite stuff. The entire city of Pompeii was all filled with Sodomite artwork, just male anatomy everywhere in the streets and the marketplaces, openly displaying wickedness. And, you know, they even had a museum in Phoenix recently feature a Pompeii exhibit. But there was a part of the exhibit they said, don't go in this part with children. Because it was so pornographic and filthy in there of the Sodomite things going on in Pompeii. That's why God wiped it out. Oh, but wait a minute. I thought in the New Testament he doesn't do stuff like that anymore. You know, there was a wicked city in Jamaica that was wiped out by God because it was filled with sodomites and filled with wickedness. And God literally caused the entire city to sink into the ocean. And it's just gone. And even the tour guides in Jamaica were telling our soul winners about this when they were there. You know, the most wrathful book in the Bible is the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
I mean, where are you going to find the most hellfire and damnation in the whole Bible? It's not in the Old Testament. It's in the book of Revelation. The last book in the Bible, you know, it's in the future. So don't tell me it's outdated. It hasn't even happened yet.
Amen.
Folks, that's an example to those that would afterward follow that filthy lifestyle. You know, anyone who lives in San Francisco should be scared to death that God's not about to just wipe it out, especially since it's sitting on this fault line of an earthquake. God someday is going to wipe that place out.
Yep, that's right.
It's a wicked place. Here's an article that I read about STDs in San Francisco. San Francisco has a rich history and beautiful culture, defined by one of the largest, most prominent LGBT communities in the world. They have a rich history and a beautiful culture, defined. Defined by what? One of the largest, most prominent LGBT communities in the world. However, due to misinformation and a lack of resources and general discrimination, San Francisco also has had a growing issue with HIV and other STDs. Are you listening to this garbage? It's like, oh, it's so wonderful. It's LGBT. It's so beautiful. And all the homos are so, they define everything. It's so great. But, you know, here's why there's so much HIV. It's due to misinformation. Oh, wait. Oh, misinformation like, hey, men are supposed to be with other women, not men. Yeah, a little misinformation like you mixed up your genders, idiot. You mixed up your information like you didn't realize that toilets aren't optional. That's a requirement of living in a civilized society, using the toilet. Oh, it's just a little misinformation. And it's, you know, lack of resources. So a lack of resources gave you HIV? Let's up those 400,000 hypodermic needles a month. Let's make it 500,000. Let's get you guys more resources. And general discrimination. Oh, you know why San Francisco's filled with dung and disease tonight? Oh, it's because the homos are being discriminated against. I mean, if we would just open up and be more accepting to homos, we could clean up San Francisco. Who believes that tonight? These are the idiots in the media. Look, tell me, either I'm insane. If I'm insane, put me in a straitjacket and drag me out of here and take me to a mental hospital right now, because either I'm insane or the author of this article is insane. So if it's me, I'm willing to go peacefully. Put me in a straitjacket. But don't tell me that it's normal that we're going to blame discrimination. Oh, it's so beautiful. The homo lifestyle is so beautiful. There's just too much discrimination, though. That's the problem. What, did somebody tell them, hey, you can't use the toilets here? Is that the discrimination? No homos are allowed to use these toilets. Go in the street. That never happened. If I was running a business there, it would happen, but it's never happened. Let's take a closer look at some statistics and incidence rates of STDs in San Francisco. Studies suggest that STD incidence rates are on the rise throughout California. But according to a survey from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention from 2013, STD rates are 2 to 3 times higher in San Francisco than in any of the other cities of the Bay Area. I can't figure out why. It must be that discrimination that's going on in San Francisco. Or maybe it's that lack of information. Or maybe it's the lack of resources. Why there's 3 times as much STDs in San Francisco as San Jose. I mean, San Jose, California is right there. Who knows where San Jose is, right? Bay Area, it's right there. Yeah, well, that's funny because I looked up this list of cities, and guess what? The city with the least homos was Birmingham. What was number 2? Pittsburgh, all right. Number 3 was Memphis, and number 4 was San Jose. Did you hear that? San Jose, California has one of the lowest amounts of homos. It's in the same area. I mean, you know, San Francisco's up on the peninsula. It's like an hour away in San Jose, California, which is also a big, bustling city. It's packed with people. But isn't it interesting that they have half the homos, and that's why they have a third as many STDs? They have way less STDs. I wonder if there's a connection between homos and STDs. I wonder if there could possibly be a connection between feces in the street and a dirty city. I mean, folks, wake up. Pastor Anderson's not the one that's crazy. It's not Jason Robinson that's crazy. It's not Roger Jimenez that's crazy. You know what? It's these people that have forsaken God's laws. They don't want Leviticus. They don't want Deuteronomy. They didn't just throw out the morality. They threw out the sanitation. They threw out all of it. You say, oh, I'm so offended. I can't believe it. You know, what? We're just speaking the truth here. Pastor Robinson loves you and tells you the truth. Get offended by it? I mean, give me a break. 3 times as much STD activity as in any of the other places, even in the same region, even in California itself. Because California tends to get a little bit of a bad rap because San Francisco is so bad and parts of LA are so bad. But the most common STDs in San Francisco are syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia. So it's not just HIV. STD rates are particularly high among gay and bisexual men. Here, let me pick myself up off the floor. Homos and those who are bi have the highest prevalence of chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis. Oh, you're not going to believe this. Did you know that trans residents also have higher than average rates of STDs? Who'd have thunk it? In 2004, HIV transmission among men was 93.9% by male-to-male homo contact. 93.9%. That's how the HIV got transmitted. 3.6% was by injection drug use alone. 1.1% was from hetero contact. And 1.4% was from like blood transfusions, babies who get it in the womb, or other ways of picking it up. This is 94% homos passing it around amongst themselves. And then it asks this question at the bottom of the article. What causes these high rates? Well, there are a wide range of factors that contribute to the increase in STD rates in San Francisco. Much of it comes down to societal factors, including homelessness, poverty, and unsafe substance use, combined with structural violence and systemic racism. So, you know whose fault it is? Racism. You know, discriminate. Are these people nuts? This is the libtard mentality. This is how the liberal, left-wing political people of our country, this is how they think.
That's right.
Well, it's the poverty. I mean, it's the racism. Like high incarceration rates among black men. That's the problem. Well, nobody told them to go be a faggot while they're in prison. Hey, what if I told you that you can go to prison without being a homo? You have to be a reprobate to be a homo. It has nothing to do with whether you got sent to prison or not. Let's go to Nahum chapter 3. What's the title of the sermon? Woe to the filthy city. Now, I got this title from a couple chapters in the Minor Prophets, Nahum chapter 3 and Zephaniah chapter 3. So we're going to look at some of these chapters, Nahum chapter 3 and Zephaniah chapter 3. I'm pretty much done talking about San Francisco, but I think I've made my point. I think you get the picture of why I say that San Francisco is the perfect example of a city that turns away from God, rejects the Lord, rejects the commandments of God, doesn't want hard preaching. I mean, show me one red-hot soul-winning church in San Francisco, California. I don't know. I don't think it's out there. I've never heard of one. And now, there are some in the region. There are some in the Bay Area and of course, in Sacramento, California. But San Francisco has rejected the Lord. And you know what? Even if they haven't, God already stepped in way too much there to where he said, I'm turning away from this filthy place. That's what Deuteronomy 23 said. God will not have his presence and blessing and power in a place that's filled with human waste, period. Even if that were the only problem, he says, I'll turn away from that. Now, if the God of Deuteronomy 23 said, I'll turn away from that, I don't want to step in that, I don't want to be around that, that's filth. What makes you think God changed in 2018? Because God said, I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And by the way, which member of the Godhead is the one who walks around on this earth? Is it the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit that walks on this earth? It was the Lord Jesus Christ who walked on this earth in the Old Testament and on the New Testament. And now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. But we know that filth and dung and just unsanitary conditions, God's not pleased. He says, that's enough for me to turn away from you right there alone. So the Bible says in Nahum chapter 3, verse 1, woe to the bloody city. It's all full of lies and robbery. The prey departeth not. The noise of a whip and the noise of the rattling of the wheels and of the prancing horses and of the jumping chariots. The horseman lifteth up both the bright sword and the glittering spear. And there's a multitude of slain and a great number of carcasses. And there's none into their corpses. They stumble upon their corpses. Because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, mistress of witchcrafts, that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness and the kingdoms thy shame, and I will cast abominable filth upon thee and make thee vile, and will set thee as a gazing stock. Now tell me something. Is that not descriptive of San Francisco in verse 5 when he says, I'm going to show the nations thy nakedness? Well, guess what? All the nations of the world, they now know that San Francisco is one of the filthiest places in the world. Because they can go on YouTube, and all nations have gone on YouTube and seen the dung and the filth in the streets on many YouTube videos. He said, I'll show the kingdoms thy shame. I'll cast abominable filth upon thee and make thee vile. Has God caused San Francisco, or at least allowed San Francisco, to become filthy and vile as a result of sin? Yeah, it's covered in dung, it's covered in needles, it's covered in disgusting filth. Alsatia is a gazing stock. What's a gazing stock? It means people will just stop and look at it and just be like, can you believe this? Can you believe how bad this is? Now, what are the sins that led to this? Well, these are the words that I underlined in verses 1 through 4. I underlined these words as being the reason why. These are the words I underlined. Lies, robbery, slain, carcasses, corpses, corpses, whoredoms, harlot, witchcraft, whoredoms, witchcraft. So what are the sins that we can identify about this city? Back then, of course, the city of Nineveh, but today we're talking about modern American cities. He said lies, basically, stealing, murder, and fornication and witchcraft. Those are the five sins that I identified. And by the way, this is the same stuff that God's mad about in Revelation chapter 9 when he's pouring out his wrath in the end times. He's mad about this same list of sins. Lies, robbery, murder, whoredoms, or fornication, and witchcraft. These are the five things. Now, can we identify these today in many modern American major cities, most notably San Francisco? Yeah, the murder, the corpses, the slain, the carcasses, it's called abortion. Right. 3,000 deaths per day. Okay, that's murder. That's a great number of carcasses. That's a bunch of corpses right there, okay? So we definitely see that. Do we see the whoredoms, the fornication? Of course, the fornication, the adultery, it's rampant. How about witchcraft? That which is demonic, that which is sorcery. Of course, we see that, especially in places like New Orleans, Louisiana, I've seen that. But you'll see it in places like San Francisco and other places, the occult, the psychic readers, the seances, the New Age, and all those type of things. And then, of course, the lies. That's what's coming across the pulpit from all these pastors in San Francisco who aren't telling it like it is. Look, if you had a bunch of red-hot preaching in San Francisco for the last 100 years, you think it would have become the place that it is right now? You think if Mountain Baptist Church was there, Faith Forward Baptist Church was there, Verity Baptist Church was right there in the heart of San Francisco just for decades, preaching, knocking every door, winning souls? No, you got a bunch of lying pastors in their long flowing robes, just like the Sadducees and Pharisees that Christ warned us about. They got their long robes, they got their collar turned around backwards, in many cases they even have a rainbow on the sign of the church. They're up there preaching sweetness and light. They got the NIV, they got the ESV, they got the New Living Translation. They preach about 1/10 of it. They don't preach on Nahum. They won't preach Zephaniah. They won't touch Deuteronomy chapter 23 with a 10-foot pole. They don't even know that Leviticus 20:13 is even in the Bible. Lies. Every Sunday, lies. Lies saying peace, peace when there is no peace. Praising the wicked. Strengthening the hands of the evildoers from the pulpit. Lies. What about the robbery? Well, go to San Francisco, it's probably the most taxes you'll ever pay anywhere. You know, the sales tax is through, everything's taxed. All the property tax and city tax, you know, just robbing you blind, ripping you off all the regulations and just people stealing from you. And, you know, the people who are running San Francisco, they're all filthy rich. You don't think the congressmen and the congresswomen and the mayor and the senators that come out of that place are all filthy rich? And they don't. You think they walk down those streets? You think that the leadership walks down those streets and says, stepped in another one. No, they're up in some fancy place, way away from all that junk, and they're stealing money from the people. They steal money from the common man every day, and they rip people off, they lie, they cheat, they steal, whoredoms, witchcraft. Look, there's nothing new under the sun, and you know, these are basic sins. Isn't this kind of a basic list of sins? Lying, stealing, murder, adultery, and witchcraft, right? I mean, there's nothing deep here, folks. But yet, you're hard-pressed to even find a church in America that consistently preaches against all five of these things and preaches hard against all five of these things, right? That preaches hard against the witchcraft, hard against the fornication and adultery, preaches hard against stealing, murder, abortion, killing, lying. Look, it's nothing complicated, folks. It isn't that complicated that you know, who's ever been camping before? I mean, we're in West Virginia, for crying out loud. Who's ever been camping? Is it complicated that you don't take a dump in front of your tent? I mean, is that complicated? Is that like, oh man, I need to read a book on camping. Let me go get the Boy Scout manual and study it. You know, it's not really rocket science that you don't take a dump in the camp. I mean, don't you hate it when you take somebody out camping for the first time and you gotta tell them, no, silly, that's not the bath. No, because it's common sense that tells you to go far away from the camp, use the restroom, and then cover up that which went from thee. That's what the Bible says, right? It's not complicated, but people who hate the Lord and reject God, this is where they end up professing themselves to be wise. They become fools. And this is how they become. Let's go to one more chapter here on the same vein here. Zephaniah chapter 3. The title of the sermon is Woe Unto the Filthy City. In Nahum, he said, woe to the bloody city. And he said, I'll cast filth on you. And then in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 1, it says, woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. So that's pretty much like what? Woe to the filthy city. That's where I got my title. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. That's the problem, folks. You say, what's wrong with San Francisco? Is it the weather? It's beautiful weather. Is it the scenery? It's beautiful scenery. What's wrong with it? I'll tell you what's wrong with it. They didn't obey God's voice. And you know what? You're no better here, because if you don't obey God's voice, you're going to go the same way. If Morgantown doesn't obey God's voice, they could end up the same way. Pittsburgh may have a low rate of homos now, but you know what? If they don't obey God's voice, if they don't trust in the Lord, if they don't receive correction, if they won't take the hard preaching, if they won't draw nigh to God, any city can become a San Francisco. It's been happening for thousands of years. Whether it's Nineveh, or whether it's Jerusalem, or whether it's Sodom, or whether it's San Francisco, or Pittsburgh, or any other city, when you reject God, he'll cast abominable filth on you. He'll make you a gazing stock. He'll show the whole world your shame. You'll become a proverb and a byword and be mocked and ridiculed, and you'll be even the subject of a pastor who's preaching thousands of miles away. Let me tell you about a filthy place. Hey, kids, you want to do drugs? Here, let me tell you about San Francisco. Oh, you like to drink? Here, let me show you San Francisco. Oh, you want to be lazy and live outside? You don't want to get a job? You just want to kind of live in your vehicle for a while just because you don't want to go to work? You want to experience the freedom of just living outside and being homeless? Okay, well, let me take you somewhere where you can see where that lifestyle ends up. And it'll be an advertisement for you to do what? To get a job, to work hard, to make something out of your life. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till tomorrow. That's talking about the corrupt government. And the government in California is messed up. I mean, it's corrupt. It's bad. Verse 4, her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Now, what does it mean to be a light person? Does it mean he's too skinny? He doesn't weigh enough. Is that what that means? No. When the Bible says her prophets are light persons, what's the opposite of being light? Is being heavy. You know, you say, oh, that pastor, he's such a downer. You know, he's always preaching this heavy sermon. You know, I people want something lighter, don't they? They want a light sermon, something that's easy. You know, what's light? It's real easy to digest. You know, we'll just eat something light. Let's just have a light snack. You know what that is? Low calories, what that is. So this is low calorie preaching. This is fluff. This is stretched out with a bunch of filler. It's low cal. It's not deep. It's shallow. There's no heavy doctrine. There's no coming down on you with hard preaching. It's just this light. You know, and by the way, a lot of people call our type of church the new IFB, and then they call the other kind of fundamental Baptist the old IFB. I like to call them IFB light.
Amen.
You know, there's IFB and then there's IFB light. You know, it goes down smooth. Cool, crisp, refreshing. IFB light. You know, no guilt trip, No sermons about excrement. No hard preaching. No guilt trip. You know, it goes down smooth. IFB Light. Try it today. It's in every city in America. You know, find the nearest one near you. Or you can go to Big Boy Church. But her prophets are light and treacherous persons. A traitor or a treacherous person is somebody who stabs you in the back. That means they pretend they love you. Oh, I love you guys so much. Then why don't you tell us the truth? If you love us, why don't you warn us about fornication? If you love us, why didn't you warn us about drug use? If you warn us, why didn't you warn us of the dangers of drinking? No, you told us to be a social drinker because you knew that's what we wanted to hear. Traitor, treacherous person, you pretend that you love while leading people down a wicked path. No, the preacher that loves you tells you the truth. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They've done violence to the law. So in conclusion, let me say this. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a way that seems right. You know, a lot of people today, how they decide what's right and wrong, they just say, you know, that seems right. Or, you know, they'll listen to me preach or listen to your pastor preach, and here's what they'll say. That just doesn't seem right. You know, when he preached that sermon, it just didn't really seem right, you know. I don't know. It just didn't feel right, that San Francisco sermon. I don't know. You know, when he rips on sodomites and drunks and drug addicts, it doesn't seem right to me. I don't care if it seems right. Is it biblical? Is it biblical? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You can't just follow the heart of your sinful flesh. Follow the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not just this figment of your imagination where you decide what you think and then say, yeah, I think God's telling me that.
That's right.
You dream up stuff out of your own imagination. Like, yeah, I think the Holy Spirit's leading me to do. No. The Holy Spirit speaks through God's word. He'll bring into remembrance all the things that Christ told you. He will not speak of himself, but he will take of Christ's word and show it unto you.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. There's a way that seems right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And again, the song, if you're going to San Francisco, be sure to wear some flowers in your hair. If you're going to San Francisco, you're going to meet some gentle people there. For those who come to San Francisco, summertime will be a love-in there. Doesn't that sound good? I mean, it seems right. You know, you put some flowers in your hair. Meet some gentle people there. We're going to have a love in. No, it's a dung in there. We're going to have a love in there. You know what? This is love that we walk after his commandments. But in the 1960s, the summer of love, 1967, you know what? They said, we have our own version of love. You know what their version of love was in 1967 San Francisco? Hate and Ashbury Street. It's fornication. They call that love. Adultery. They call that love. Taking drugs. Free love. Make love, not war. Peace. There's no peace to the wicked, the Bible says.
That's right.
But he said, you know, the song says, oh, there's going to be a love-in there. What's a love-in? Just some filthy gathering of hippies committing fornication, adultery, and taking drugs. And blaspheming and hating the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Summertime will be a love in there. These are the lyrics of the song. In the streets of San Francisco, gentle people with flowers in their hair. All across the nation, such a strange vibration. People in motion. There's a whole generation with a new explanation. You know what they're saying there? We reject the Bible. We reject the Lord. We reject God's word. We reject traditional Christian values of America because we got a new explanation. I don't want your stupid new explanation. You could take your stupid new explanation and flush it down the toilet with the 5,000 pounds of excrement that's on your street last night because, you know, I don't want a new explanation. Give me the old time religion.
Amen.
Give me the old explanation.
Amen.
Give me the explanation from Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus. We got a new, it's a strange, it's a strange vibration, all right? It's a queer vibration. It's a strange vibration. There's a whole generation with a new explanation. People in motion. For those who come to San Francisco, be sure to wear some flowers in your hair. Be sure to bring some hand sanitizer, yeah, is what the song should say. Bring some hand sanitizer. Be sure to wear a thick pair of shoes that a hypodermic needle can't pierce. Be sure to, if you're going to San Francisco, be sure to download the app that tells you where all the poop is. Because in the streets of San Francisco, it's the world's largest outdoor, unsupervised mental institution. Be sure to bring a Sharps container, right? Yeah. So that you can deal with all the hazmat. And, bring a pressure washer with you when you go there. Don't put flowers in your hair. Good night. So what's the answer? What's the answer tonight? Here's the answer. It's very simple. Be clean. Everybody listening? Be clean. Clean your house. Clean your body. Right? So number one is be clean. Number two, abstain from drugs and alcohol is the answer. Number three, remain pure and only have that physical relationship within marriage. Number four, put the sodomites out of the land. Amen. Or at least stay as far away from them as you personally can. Because look, it's 6% of people that have turned that place into a filth hole. Because God looks down and he sees that disgusting, filthy lifestyle. And you know what he says? He says, okay, you like filth? I'll cast abominable filth upon you and make you a gazing stock to all nations of the world. You think it's a coincidence that the most homo city is the dirtiest city in America, where people are now saying it's worse than a third world country? They're saying it's worse than horrible countries where there's just poverty and slums and filth. Places in South America and Africa, they're known for being dirty. People are saying, no, San Francisco is worse. It's more unsanitary. You think it's a coincidence that that's where the sodomites are? It can't be. Be clean. Abstain from drugs and alcohol. Let me add one that's not in my notes. Go to work. Get a job. Stay busy working. Remain pure. Only have that physical relationship within marriage, no fornication, no adultery, and put the sodomites out of the land, which obviously we don't have the power to put them all the way out of West Virginia or all the way out of Arizona, but at least put them out of the church, put them out of your social life, and just when you see them, just stay away from them to the best of your ability. Why? You don't want the germs. You don't want the filth. You don't want the spiritual or physical garbage that they're carrying in their bodies. Stay away from it. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word. And we thank you for the law of Moses. The law of the Lord is perfect, you told us. And so, Lord, help us to be smart enough to listen to you and your wisdom in the Bible, Lord. And, Lord, it's easy for us to sit back and rip on San Francisco as being the filth hole that it is. But, Lord, help us to realize that our own lives can become a little personal San Francisco if we go down that drunken, drug-addicted, lazy man, fornicating, adulterous life. Lord, help us to keep ourselves pure. Help us not to become a spiritual San Francisco in our lives or in our church or in our neighborhoods. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.